told. I found the people here very welcoming. I miss, I think, doing things outdoors. I miss that, yeah. I think that's one of the big changes for me, spending a lot of time indoors. So I miss being outdoors, you know, barefoot.
The Old School by Tarim Tetwa. In the old country school, under the cool of the tree, I scribbled on dust's pages. And the wind, my unfailing teacher, blew away my wrongs and whispered corrections. And mother tilling the soil to philosophy's depth, unearthed syllabi to school my eager eye. The enduring sun, shifting the shade's course, moved me from class to class to my graduation.
Poetry 2012, The Written World.
The digital station on TV, radio, and online. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Now, this was used in Galton and Simpson's Comedy Controller. Ted Ray, a.k.a. Nedlow the Violinist, real name Charlie Olden, offers this slice of comedy from 1949. The main characters were Ted Ray and his wife, played by Kitty Blewett. This production also features an appearance by Peter Sellers as the strange Lady Crystal Jollybottom.
Feeling sad and blue, just raise a laugh and soon you'll find you're losing that crown. A smile will spread all over the town. Don't give in, try and grin. Don't be like a passport photograph. Come on and meet Ted Ray, he'll chase your troubles away.
And raise a laugh,
Ted Ray.
Hello, boys and girls. What do you think? What do you think? When I was coming here tonight, I saw Mr. Attlee walking down Whitehall and Mr. Morrison walking up the other way. And they passed each other and never spoke. It's come to a fine thing when they start cutting each other. You know, some people take these things very badly. There was a fellow last week just going to throw himself over Westminster Bridge when a policeman came along and said, "Hey, what's your big idea?" So this fellow said, "Well, what with the weather and the wife, and I can't stand it, I tell you. She gets me down, she gets on my nerves." The policeman said, "Well, everybody wants a tiff now and again, sir. I shouldn't worry about that. She'll get over it. Where is your wife?" So the bloke said, I've got a photograph of her here. I'll show it to you." So the policeman took one look at the photograph and said, "Blimey, here, I'll give you a leg up." I'm afraid you have to pardon me. I've got a shocking cold tonight. I went round to my doctor's with it, but he's already got one. Yes, silly. And Sandy McNabb brought his wife to be examined. Afterwards, the doctor said, "Well, Sandy, what your wife needs is a change of climate." So Sandy says, "Hey, that's fine. The weather forecast says we're going to have one tomorrow." "It'll save me a shilling on the prescription, you can." You know, I love hunting. That's my game. I love hunting. The open country. This time last year, I was up in Scotland after a deer. She still writes to me now and again. Of course, you meet all sorts of people in this profession. As I was leaving the studio last week, a fellow came up to me and said, "Mr. Ray, you should hear, I haven't tasted food for 3 weeks. I said, "Don't worry, you've missed nothing. It's the same old taste." He said, "I know all about that," he said, "but all we got indoors, Governor, is a radio set. The wife and the kids ain't had anything to eat and they're starving, starving. But they love hearing you on the wireless, Governor. Love hearing you. Could you lend me a pound?" So I felt sorry for him, so I gave him 16 and 8. A pound. Coming in tonight, the same man walked up and said, "Mr. Ray, the wife and the kids are starving." I said, wait a minute, I joined the club last week. "What did you do with the pound I gave you then?" He said, "Well, Governor, you wouldn't believe it." He said, "When I got home, there they were, all shivering round the radio listening to you. And I showed them your pound, and what do you think? They all looked so happy, we all went out and had our photographs taken. That's all. I'll see you in a minute, folks.
Many years ago in old Sorrento, a certain ditty was quite the thing. Whenever a mother rocked her baby in Sorrento, this little ditty she used to sing. Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, and jalawa, cuckoo, goomba. Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, my bambino, go to sleep. Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, and jalawa, cuckoo, goomba. Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, my bambino, go to sleep. All the stars are in the sky, ready to say goodnight. Can't you see your dolly sleepy too? Close your drowsy little eyes, mama will hold you tight while she sings a lullaby to you. Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, and jalawa, cuckoo, goomba. Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, my bambino, go to sleep.
Say goodnight. Can't you see your dolly's sleepy too? Close your drowsy little eyes. Mama will hold you tight while she sings a lullaby to you.
Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, and jalawa, cuckoo, la goomba. Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, my bambino, go to sleep. Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, and jalawa, cuckoo, la goomba. Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, my bambino, go to sleep. Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, my bambino, go to sleep. Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua, my bambino, go to
thank you, Boys and Bells. That number was requested by Mrs. Hammett of Bravington Road, London. And next week, the boys and girls will sing, It is better to have loved a short girl than never to have loved at all. Everyone worries about the future. It's got to be that way. It doesn't matter whether it's the meat ration, the petrol ration, or any other ration. We're so worried about the future that we often forget the present. And last Saturday evening, like thousands of other people, I was studying my future. 2x2, x1x. 2, 2.
Oh, Ted, darling.
Shh, quiet, kitty, quiet. I may have a fifth dividend on the easy six.
Pass me the middle page of the paper, dear.
Chelsea, Manchester City. That's a turn up for the book.
Ted, will you please pass me the middle page? You're not reading it.
Well, I will be as soon as I finish this.
Well, I only want to read Marvel.
Who's Marvo?
Marvo. Oh, Ted, he's wonderful. He sees the future with a horoscope.
He couldn't see the future with a telescope.
Marvo.
Marvo arranges my life.
He does?
Oh, yes. Without Marvo, I wouldn't make a move.
Oh, well, the next time you want that piano shifted, go and get Marvo.
Oh. But the stars tell all. I look at Sam Higgins. He's a crab.
No wonder he walks sideways.
No, stupid. Cancer the crab. Now, he was told he'd get something that would make a deep impression.
Don't tell me. The old woman hit him with a flat iron, eh?
You're making fun of me.
Go on. Go on. I'm not.
No, yes, you are, Ted. And you know it, too. You don't understand the stars. You're just poo-pooing them.
Now, listen, dear. If I want to poo-poo, I'll poo-poo. And if I don't want to poo-poo, I won't poo-poo, so poo.
Well, I don't care what you say about Marvo. I still believe in him. What about Mr. Smithers? Why, last week his lucky number was 3, and Thursday his wife had triplets.
Well, my lucky number's 14. What's Marvo going to do about that?
Well, anyway, Marvo does remember my birthday.
I hope he remembers to buy you a present.
Oh, you think you're smart, don't you? Well, you couldn't do it anyway.
Do what?
Tell the future.
I could tell your future.
Oh, well, go ahead then. Go on.
All right, then. All right, then.
All right.
You'll go on a short journey. You'll reach the heights and see a stretch of water.
Oh, Ted, I will.
Yes. Now get up them stairs and turn my bath on. Now, where's my paper, Kitty? I wish you'd leave it alone. Manchester City, Accrington, Stanley, Derby. Oh, Derby, what do you know? Oh, what's the use?
There, you see, darling, you're frustrated. Now, whatever star you're under...
Star, she says. It's all a lot of Taurus the Bull. And listen, if you mention Marvo again to me, you'll see stars.
I can see you've lost on your football again.
Yeah, they've lost on my football again. Yeah.
If only Marvo could see the future in this, we'd be getting somewhere.
I see numbers 20, 21, and 22 all drew, dear.
Yes, they all got the same number of goals, dear. That's why they drew, dear.
Well, I don't understand that, but yes. Marvo said last week that I had to watch the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Mm. So before I posted your coupon, I put 3 kisses and added a shilling.
You put 3?
Yes.
3 what?
Kisses and added a shilling. Well, have I done something wrong?
Wrong? Uh-huh. I'll thank you to leave my coupon alone. Messing about you and your 3 draws.
Oh, isn't that enough?
Isn't it enough? Give me that coupon. What have you done to it? 20, 21, 22. XXX, 3 draws, 3 draws. Wait a minute. Marvo told you to watch the 20th, the 21st, and the 22nd.
Yes, Ted.
So you put a shilling on it?
That's right.
That's a clever girl.
Well, thank you, dear.
Marvo, eh? Mm-hmm. Marvo, you know, I've misjudged that fellow.
I think you have, dear.
Yeah, Marvo, 3 draws, eh? Where's the middle page, dear? Oh, here we are. Hmm. Wonder what he has to say about me, hmm? Here we are. You will meet new neighbors.
Yeah, and he's right already, dear, because I spoke to the young couple across the road this morning. Oh, they're so nice, Ted. He kisses her every morning at the door and then blows her another kiss from the gate. Why don't you do that?
I haven't been introduced to her yet, dear.
Silly. Well, what does Marvo have to say about you?
About me? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, about me, yeah. Here we are. A request from a relative will touch you greatly.
Lend us half a crown, Teddy boy.
Blimey, that's service for you. Marvo must have meant the Nelson touch.
Yeah, well, what about me half crown?
Ah, you're always after money.
Now, don't be mean, Ted. After all, we've won the football.
Oh, all right. Here you are, Rumble Tummy. Now, let me get on with my horoscope.
Horoscope? Ooh, I like those. Ooh, I'm a scorpion.
You mean you're a leech?
Here, I like Marvo. He told me I should never work a week with a Friday in it.
Oh, did he? So he's to blame for it, did he? And did he tell you you were due for a big spread?
No. Am I?
No, you've already got one.
Got one?
Yes, and it's sticking out a mile.
What is?
South End Pier. Now get out of it. You've got your half crown. What more do you want? Get out to the snack bar.
Oh, but listen.
Go on, I'm reading my horoscope.
All right, keep your shirt on, Teddy boy.
Well, what else did Marvo say, Ted?
No? Oh, yes, you will quarrel with a loved one.
Oh.
Well, Marvo's wrong about that anyway. I've only got one loved one, and I'm certainly not going to quarrel with you.
Well, darling, if Marvo says we're going to quarrel, well, we're going to quarrel.
Now, listen, if this Marvo thinks he can tell me and thinks I'm going to quarrel, I am not going to quarrel. I am not going to quarrel. I'm going to bed, Kitty. I'm going to bed. I feel tired. I'll have an early night, darling. I've got the final of the golf foursomes to play in the morning.
Yes, darling.
And when you come up, don't make a noise, darling. I've been dreaming of the 3 draws. Yes. Good night. Night-night, darling.
Night-night, darling. Good old Marvo. Now, what else does he say in this paper? Don't forget to put the clock back 1 hour. Oh. Well, I'd better do that right away. Now Ted will have an extra hour's rest before his golf match. There. That's it.
Ted. Where's Ted?
Oh, what's the matter with me? Of course it's Sunday morning. I'll bet the little darling is downstairs making me a cup of tea before he goes off to golf.
Never find the fun, never find a thing in that pipe.
Hello. How's the Sleeping Beauty?
Oh, what's the matter, dear? Can't you find the tea?
Tea? I've been standing on it for 2 hours in the pouring rain.
Oh. Ted, what happened? Didn't the other three players turn up?
Oh, yes, yes. There were three, all right. Oh, two rabbits and a night owl.
Oh, dear.
And listen to me. Yes. I'll tell you one more thing.
Only one lump in my tea, Teddy boy.
I'll bet you had a hand in this.
In what?
Who's been mucking about with the clock?
Oh, well, I put it back an hour last night, dear.
Your what?
Well, just before I went to bed.
And I put it back an hour last night.
When?
When I came home from the snack bar.
I wish I'd both leave things alone. I'd already put it back an hour myself.
Ted, you must have been awfully early at that golf course, but early.
Early. Early, she says, early. A shepherd walked by and asked me if I was the night shift. Now, I'm telling you two for the last time, leave things alone.
Well, anyway, Ted, Marvo was right.
Marvo, what's he got to do with it?
Well, here's the paper, dear. Just read it for yourself.
Give it to me. You will quarrel with a loved one. It will just be a matter of time.
We bring you melody from out of the sky, my brother and I.
Hello, everyone. This is Bob and Alf Pearson. Our melody this week tells the story of the Seven Veils.
Once the king of Hokum Pokum called his cavaliers and said, "You dogs, I haven't had a thrill in 20 years. What about it? What about it?" And the boys said, "Wait." Far and wide they sought for what would thrill their weary king. At last they rode back home and cried, "We have the very thing. It's a dancer. What a dancer." And the king said, "Great." They call her Seven Veils. Her magic never fails. She's caused a thousand scandals, and we're not telling fairy tales. Far over hills and dales, she's wrecked a thousand males. Okay, is what the king said. Bring on your seven veils. She began to twist and turn. The king just yawned and looked real stern. Off came a little veil, one. Then she trembled once or twice. The king said, "Boys, I'm cold as ice." Off came another veil, two. She shook like bay leaves in a storm. The king cried, "Gosh, I'm getting warm." Off came another veil, three. Then she jived just like a cat. The king said, "Mama, buy me that." Off came another veil, four. She danced around and how she tripped. The king said, "Hope the next one's ripped." Off came another veil, five. Then she shook from toes to ears. The king put out three chandeliers. Off came another veil, six. Then came a terrible din. Just as she reached for the seventh veil, the queen came walking in. Oh, 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 that seventh veil. That dancer went to jail, and that king just goes on dreaming. He dreams of the seven.
And now we present Ted Ray as George, the man with a conscience. George is listening intently to his boss, Mr. Rivers, who is about to send him to investigate a mystery which has captured the imagination of the whole country.
You know, it's fantastic, George. It's the biggest sea mystery since the Marie Celeste.
It is indeed, sir.
Imagine it. This lighthouse keeper, Silas Britton, has locked himself in his lighthouse.
It reminds me of the three old ladies.
Oh, dear, yeah, what in the matter? Yeah. It is such a job.
Sorry, I'm just carried away for a minute, sir. Just, you know, the old days.
Ah, yes, I know. Look here. They've even sent out three relief ships.
What happened?
He fired on them.
Good gracious.
Oh, but he can't intimidate us.
No, sir.
No fear. He can't frighten the bugle.
He can't, that.
So if he fires on you, you'll just fire back.
Yes, sir, I'll get my revolver and Wait a minute. What do you mean I'll fire back?
Oh, now look here. You just get the story, son. Now here you are. Here's your ticket, your sou'wester, and your tin of sardines. Now off you go to Hurricane Rocks. Go on.
Yes, sir. Here I go again. Well, we're on our way. Won't be long now. Oh, Conscience.
Yes, George?
You must admit I'm dressed for the part.
In those oilskins and sou'wester, you look like a car park attendant in Venice.
Oh, shut up. What's that? I wasn't talking to you.
Charlie!
What is it, Ingrid?
This geezer told me to shut up while I was eating my sandwiches.
Here you, Francis Drake. Don't you insult my old woman before me.
All right, you insult her first, then.
You shut up or I'll do you.
Well, I only said...
Well, don't then.
Well, I...
Well, that's it. Ingrid.
What, Charlie?
Boss, another leak.
Another leak here.
George.
Yes, Conscience?
Phew. Don't those leaks give off an awful odor?
Yes, they do smell.
Charlie!
What is it, Ingrid?
This geezer says we smell.
Now listen, defender of our island home. One more word out of you and I'll breathe all over you.
Well, I only turn...
Well, don't then.
Well, I just...
Well, that's it.
Conscience.
What, George?
You aren't half getting me into trouble.
Who, me?
Yes, and I wish you'd keep your big mouth shut.
Charlie!
What, Ingrid?
This geezer's telling me to keep my big mouth shut.
Well, then why don't you? I've been trying to do it for 20 years.
Whoa, you big ape, you wait till I get you home.
Now, look here, there's only one thing I've got to say.
The train now pulling into platform one has to. It's the only platform we've got.
Well, Conscience, we're here. We've arrived at our destination. Oh, dear Conscience, what a place. Look at those waves and look at all those seagulls flying above.
Keep moving, George.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Where can I ask about Hurricane Rock?
Try that little pub.
Oh, yes. Sailor's Rest.
Yes, so do railway porters.
Oh, shut up. I'm going in. Good afternoon, all.
Good afternoon.
Does anyone know the way to Hurricane Rock?
Hurricane Rock!
What's the matter? They've all gone.
All except me.
Who are you?
Crystal Jollybottom is so fun. Take your elbow out of me potted shrimp.
But listen. Why did they run away? All I said was Hurricane Rock.
Well, that's why they ran away.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Hurricane Rock saved many an old wreck.
Well, don't look at me.
I'll bet you can tell me how to find Silas Britton on Hurricane Rock.
No, I can't.
Come on, you little sailor's retreat. You can tell me.
Stop pushing me.
Come on.
Oh, your mackerel net's caught round me lobster pot.
Come on, Lady Hamilton.
Let me go. You'll scorn our victory here.
Come on, darling, come on. Be reasonable. You can tell me.
Oh, stop it. Oh, oh, your brass telescope's caught in me rope ladder. Stop shaking me.
All right, then tell me.
Well, you asked for it.
Well, where is it?
Well, it's a 3-mile walk across the sand.
Yes?
You can get there while the tide's out.
Have you been across yourself?
Yes, I have.
Well, what happened?
Well, as soon as I touched me seaweed, I knew it was going to be wet. Oh.
Well, well, well. Here we are. Bleak and desolate it is, too. At last, I'm on Hurricane Rock. I'll knock at this old iron door. Why don't they open the door?
Brace yourself, George. There may be trouble.
I'm ready.
Hello.
Why, it's a little girl. What's your name?
Jennifer.
That's a nice name.
We've been expecting you.
You have?
Yes, come on into the lighthouse.
Thank you.
Now put this mop cap on.
All right, dear.
Now take the scrubbing brush in one hand and the floor cloth in the other.
Right-ho. What do I do now?
Get down on your hands and knees and do the lighthouse work. Goodbye.
Well, of all that, don't you? Conscience, look! The door's closing by itself. Oh, Conscience, we're trapped. We're in a mess.
As the monkey said,
wasn't it? Oh, shut up.
Hey, you! Come up here!
What? Up the spiral staircase?
Yes, I want to talk to you.
What is it?
Come in this room.
All right. What do you want with me?
I want you to meet my son. He's just come back from Algeria.
Really?
And just listen to his voice. He keeps on whining.
Ooh.
That's good. Go on, get rid of it, son.
Ooh.
Good, good. Here, do you know what?
What?
He thinks he's Mr. Strachey.
Mr. Strachey?
Yes, and he's getting rid of his Algerian wine.
What's going on here?
Oh, it's the captain. Come on, son.
Oh, so there you are, Sydney Torch.
Sydney Torch?
Yes, my lamp's gone out and you get on my wick.
Now listen to me, Silas Britton. Why won't you come ashore?
What, with these new cuts? Not Pygmalion likely. Follow me, please. Up this rope ladder.
Why? This is the lamp room.
Yes, now, I'll tell you my story.
Yes?
That light has burned for 30 years, as sure as my name's Silas Britton.
For 30 years?
Yes, except for one night when an old man of 99 came in and snuffed it.
Yes? Well, what happened?
The good ship, How's Your Father, ran off her course and struck the rock.
And did the name go right through the rock?
Oh, she was... She was bound for Tilbury with a cargo of doll's eyes.
Doll's eyes?
Yes.
How dreadful.
And since then I sit here looking at the rock night after night, sometimes without food.
I suppose the doll's eyes see you through the week.
Oh. It almost drove me mad, those eyes staring at me, accusing me.
What did you do?
I threw myself on the rocks.
What happened?
Oh, I sprained my ankle. So I climbed up the ladder and stared out to sea again.
And what did you see then?
Doll's eyes, looking at me accusingly. Thousands of pairs of them.
Sounds like a cue for national health glasses. Well, go on. Don't keep me in suspense. What did you do, Silas Britton?
Well, I flung myself down on the rocks again and only sprained my wrist.
That was lucky.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, those eyes. They're looking at me now.
Yes?
Your eyes are looking at me.
No.
I can't stand it.
Huh?
You're the cause of all.
Me?
All my trouble. You should take my place.
No.
I'll throw you on the rocks.
No, Silas Britton, not me. Oh, what are you going to do?
I'm going to hurl you onto those rocks as sure as my name's Silas Britton.
Let go. Let go, my throat. Go on. Britton, be careful. No. Oh, look out, Silas Britton.
No. You're
falling. Blimey, Britton's on the rocks again.
all for this week, boys and girls. How that old clock does go round. Still, we'll be with you again next week when once more we'll help you to...
Raise a love, raise a love. Don't be like a passport photograph.
Gloomy days soon will pass. Come on, folks, raise up your glass.
And raise a love.
You've been listening to Ted Ray in Raise a Laugh with Kitty Blewett, Bob and Alf Pearson, the Bows and the Bells, Fred Yule, Peter Sellers, Patricia Hayes, and Leslie Perrins. The dance orchestra was conducted by Stanley Black. The program was written by Eddie McGuire and Ted Ray. Production by George Innes.
And he's right, they are back next week when Ted and Kitty bicker over too much toothpaste. Interesting to see how they'll spin that into half an hour. Now, two supernatural stories from Victorian writers haunt the seventh dimension this week. Man-sized in marble from the pen of E. Nesbitt follows an eerie tale from Mary Braddon. After betraying his lover, a German artist is plagued by her memory.
He cannot see the cold arms clasped round his neck. It is not ghostly, this embrace, for it is palpable to the touch. It cannot be real, for it is invisible.
No! No! Let me be!
He clasps the hands in his own to tear them asunder, to cast them off his neck. He can feel the long, delicate fingers, cold and wet beneath his touch.
The Female Ghost begins in Thursday night's Seventh Dimension at 6 and midnight.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
It's 9 o'clock. This is Susan Ray. Good Sunday morning. Now, gather the little ones round the wireless, toast some crumpets maybe, as we settle down for an hour of family drama. There, I can see you all now like a tableau from a Serdar knitting pattern. First, Peter Pan, then in half an hour, The Swish of the Curtain by Pamela Brown. A group of children all share one dream, to set up their very own theatre company. And at lunchtime today, Inspector Morse in Last Seen Wearing. That's at 1:30. We begin on a distant and uncharted island. John, Wendy and Michael are all at sea in Never Never Land. It's Peter Pan, the second part of an excellent production by Dirk Maggs. Really spirited, with really, really good music throughout. Lovely.
Peter Pan by J.M. Barrie. Dramatised in 4 acts by Philip Glassborough. Act 2, in the Mermaid's Lagoon.
Did you hear something, Charlie?
Quiet, Toodles. Listen, boys. The Indians are tracking something.
Are they tracking us?
They're tracking the pirates.
But who are the pirates tracking?
I do wish Peter would come back.
So do I, Curly. I'm always afraid of the pirates when Peter is in here.
Pirates? I'm not afraid of pirates.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What was that?
Sorry, Slightly.
Oh, just the twins falling over each other. I wish Peter would come back and tell us if he's heard anything more about Cinderella. Getting rather anxious, you know, Nibs.
About Peter?
No, about Cinderella. See, not having a mother, I like to imagine she was rather like Cinderella.
All I can remember about my mother is that she often used to say to Father, oh, how I wish I had a checkbook of my own.
What is a checkbook?
I don't know, but I'd love my mother to have had one.
Well, of course, my mother was fonder of me than your mothers were of you.
Oh, no, she wasn't.
She always
said
that.
Say that again and I'll biff you one.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, she was. Peter had to make up names for you, but my mother had wrote my name on the nightshirt I was lost in. Slightly Soiled, that's what you named me.
What's that noise?
What noise?
Pirates! Nibs, hide up the lookout tree. The rest of you, into the trees and down to the house.
Go!
let go!
Put back that pistol first.
But, Captain, 'twas one of them boys you hate. I could have shot him dead if you'd let me fire.
Aye, Starkey. And the sound would have brought Tiger Lily's redskins on us. Do you want to lose your scalp?
Captain, shall I after the boy with my trusty cutlass, Johnny Corkscrew? I could tickle him with Johnny. Johnny is a silent fellow.
Not now, Smee.
Oh.
He is only one, and I want to mischief all the seven. Scatter and hunt for him! Starkey, Checo, go westward. Skylights and Noodler, head nor by nor east. Bill Jukes and Cookson, strike south. Smee, a word in your ear.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Most of all, I want their captain, Peter Pan. T'was he cut off my arm. I have waited long to shake his hand with this royal tear.